All right. Hello, Chase Oaks. Good to see you. And some of you are new, and we're glad that you're here. Some of you are not as new, and we're glad you're part of us as today we conclude this series on prayer. And every time we see I see a series go, it's always kind of sad. It's like, I don't want you to go. But at the same time, every time you say goodbye to something, we get to say hello to a whole new series. And next week, as you just heard, is at the movies. So let me encourage you. It's a great invitation opportunity. It's a lot of fun. These are big movies that we'll take the themes of to the Bible and apply those themes to our life. It's impactful, but also a great way to invite somebody to come and sit with you and invite people. And online, as you just heard, make sure you are ready to go to our website or our app where you'll see Watch Online. It's a great way to watch anyway. And you can share that too. And so anyway, it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. But this week, we are concluding our series on prayer, on really not so much why pray, but how to pray. And it all comes from one passage in the Bible where we learn from Luke. We're going to be in Matthew, but where Luke in his version gives us backstory, lets us know that the reason Jesus gave this teaching is because the disciples ask for it. They say, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. And Jesus obliges, and he doesn't give a guilt trip. That's why the subtitle of this series is a guilt-free guide to prayer. He just is empowering and says, okay, here's how to do that. And I think that's important and helpful, because going to church to hear about prayer, you may already just be ready to feel guilty about it. Like, it's kind of like when you go to the dentist, you sort of know you're going to get they may say, well, you know, if you flossed 3 times a day, you know, your mouth would be better. You know, you're like, I know, I got it. Okay, good. I got it. Or if you talk to a financial planner, or you go to a Dave Ramsey kind of thing, it's like, I know, I get it. If I don't spend any money, you'll be happier. Everybody will be happier. My finance will be happier if I don't buy anything. I get it. Or, you know, whatever you do. Or maybe a nutrition, if you've got, you know, most of us have friends that are really healthy. I mean, we all try to be, but, you know, like the really healthy people. And you don't want to let them know that you just had cheese fries and a chocolate milkshake, you know, because if you're like, I know, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I got it, you know. So when you come to church and you hear somebody like me, and we're going to do a prayer series, talk about prayer, you're like, okay, I know, I need to pray more. I got it. Like, you know, I feel guilty enough already. Now I got to go to church and feel guiltier. That's not the way we roll, because it's not the way Jesus rolled. What Jesus did when he was asked about prayer, he didn't say, guys, you do it all wrong. You're just terrible. I mean, you know what it's like to be God, because he's God, to be God and hear your prayers. I mean, it is embarrassing. But he doesn't do that. He just says, that's cool. Let me tell you how to do it. Let me tell you how to pray like I pray. And this series is built around that. And so he gives a model prayer, often called the Lord's Prayer. And this is a 3-week series. So if you've missed weeks before, make sure you go back and listen or watch the previous weeks to get the whole picture. But we're going to look at Jesus's model prayer. And now, as we said last week, a lot of people have heard it. If you've been around weddings or church or, you know, whatever, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, that may ring a bell. If it doesn't, that's okay, because we're about to read it. But it is a model prayer. It's not actually designed to be like memorized. So, I mean, it's great to memorize. I think it's a good idea. It's not hard to do. But the point isn't just to repeat a memorized prayer. It's a pattern. It's a guide. And so and it's so important, because it keeps us on track. And there are certain priorities in this prayer, certain things to pray for, that as we hear them, and we're going to see that today, that you're like, man, that would really be good if I prayed that on a regular basis. And I wouldn't, had not Jesus told me that I should include it. So we'll see that. So let me read the pattern prayer, and then we'll talk about the second half of it. We did the first half last week. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we talked last week how you could divide this prayer into two halves. Think like a cross, right? So you have the vertical cross beam that goes into the ground, and then the horizontal cross beam. Last week, we talked about the first part of the prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, as a vertical reset. And on a regular basis, this is designed to be a, like he says, daily. So a daily prayer, if you don't hit it every day, it's okay. but on a as regular as you can, to say, okay, I want to reset my life, not so much around me and my will, but around God and His will and His purposes. And many of us have been doing that this week. If not, you can start and do it. We'll talk about that. And it's an important reset. So again, don't miss that. Because if you miss that and just do what we're talking about today, it's like going out for the day half-dressed. And that's a pretty common dream that people have. You know, they go to school or go to work half-dressed, but that's a nightmare. You don't really want to do that. And so so make sure you do that. But this week, we're talking about the horizontal part, which is about, the vertical is about us and God. Horizontal is about us and each other. It's where we share our requests and ask things of God. And we just saw the pattern, and so we're going to talk about it, and we're just going to break it down into three components. So we had four last week, and then three this week on the horizontal. And the first one is about provision. He said, give us today our daily bread. So that's provision. God, give me what I need for today. Give us today our daily bread. But before I actually jump into the specific provision part, I want us to note a really, really important observation, that it doesn't say, give me today my daily bread. It says, give us today our daily bread. This is a plural prayer, all of it, not just this phrase. All of it is plural. It starts with the word our Father in heaven. And then as it goes on, lead us not into temptation. And this is so important to understand about prayer and so important to understand about the Christian life. And as Americans, it is really hard for us to get this. And that is that the Christian life, as Jesus envisioned it, the way of Jesus, is a communal life. It's a connected life, not an individualistic, isolated life. And we live in arguably the most individualistic culture in history. And we live in arguably the most isolated culture in history. Even though technology, we have so many ways to connect now that they didn't 2,000 years ago, we are much more isolated. Loneliness is a much bigger issue in our culture because we're such a me and my culture, individualistic culture. And so that's why it's just easy to think, oh, prayer is about God, give me what I need for today. But that's foreign to the way of Jesus. Because for Jesus, it's just natural. And it should be increasingly natural for us to think not me, but we. To not live a me life, but a we life. And to grow. And if you're trying to live the Christian life in an isolated way, my guess is it's pretty frustrating. Because Christianity is a team sport. We only grow closer to Jesus in the context of growing closer to each other on that journey. And therefore, prayer is part of that. And so, you know, when we pray, think not just me, but we. Now, part of that is praying with each other. Because when you look in the New Testament, most of the examples of prayer we have are together prayers, corporate prayers, where people are praying with each other and for each other. And that is so important to do. And I know for some people it's really awkward, but I'm going to encourage you to do this more, like with your family, with your friends who know Jesus, with your group, to pray with your ministry team, to pray out loud and more instinctively say, hey, why don't we pray about that? Or let's pray together. What can I pray for you? Let's do that right now. And a lot of times it's just to pray out loud, I know, can be challenging because you're like, man, what if I get it wrong? It's going to be embarrassing. But Jesus talked about that in the first week. It's not about being impressive. It's just talking with God and pulling God into our conversation, and He's our Father, He loves us, we can't get it wrong. And I think His favorite prayers are awkward prayers of new, authentic prayers. Like I remember praying sometime, this guy prayed something like this, I'll use my name, but he shared his address, I just thought it was great. But he's like, God, I'll use mine instead of his, but God, this is Jeff, and I'm the one lives in Murphy, on Westwood Drive over there, 128 Westwood. It's those two trees in the front. And you've probably seen it, you know. And I don't talk to you a whole lot, but, thanks for listening. And it was so awesome, right? Because I think God in heaven is like, now that is prayer. I love this guy. You know, I love this girl. And so it doesn't matter if it's awkward. Just pray and just talk to God. It'll become more natural, but do it together. But not only doing it together more, but also when we are praying alone, like we're alone praying with God, think not just me, but we. So when I pray, I'm not just praying with myself in mind. I'm praying with my family in mind. I'm praying with my friends in mind. I'm praying with my small group in mind, my ministry team, my church, my community in mind. So when I say even, God, give us this day our daily bread, I'm not just thinking about, God, give me what I need. I don't know about these other people, but give me what I need. It's give us what we need for today. So let's talk about that provision. God, give any the way he says it, give us today our daily bread. Now, I know daily bread is kind of specific, bread. And some of you already hung up on that because you're thinking, well, I don't want bread. I'm gluten-free and Jesus not being very sensitive here. I don't, you know. And hey, I love gluten-free people. I'm married to one, you know, so I'm all about gluten-free. It's fine. Or, you know, well, I don't really want bread. I'm keto. You know, I don't do bread. I blow up, you know, like a balloon if I eat bread. And I don't really want that. Or like me, I don't eat white bread. I try not to eat white bread. I do eat bread, but I eat whole grains. And so at the local good coffee company down here, they're adding paninis. If they haven't already decided to do that, they are now. And so, but they bought a press. So they're adding paninis down there for like lunch and dinner. And so I've told them, hey, paninis are great, great idea, but I need whole grain bread. And they're kind of rolling their eyes, but they'll have whole grain as option as bread. And so for me, you know, praying to the Lord, you know, give us today our daily whole grain bread. You know, Jesus, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I get it, you know. But it's not just about bread, okay? This is a way of saying, God, give me today what I need, all that I need for today, whatever that is. And sometimes that is food. In our culture, we're wealthy enough culture, we don't necessarily feel the same level of need that many people in the world feel. And that's why we should pray, God, meet those needs and use me to meet those needs. But also just financial needs. And that's part of it, it's not all of it. But just think about that part of it. In our culture, really, when we pray, this is a daily prayer. God, give me what I need for today. And in our culture, that's really not what we want from God. What we want is, the American dream is to be financially set. Or we don't need anything, ever. We're above need. So God, give me all that I need so I can just, now that would be cool. I would sign up for that. Right? God, make me financially set. But the Bible lets us know it's actually not a great thing. I mean, that happens, but that's actually not what we want. There's a proverb that talks about that. Because when we get too much, we no longer depend on God. And daily, asking God for daily provision and having a sense of daily need ties us in daily to God because we know we need him. Need is an invitation to walk with God in a powerful way and for him to walk with us in a powerful way. And so, and by the way, what I've seen with people who are wealthy is actually, they're, you know, it's said, oh, they don't have any worries. The more you have, as Solomon, who was wealthy, said, the more you worry because you got so much to worry about. And you got a lot of people pulling on you and all that, and you feel that. So wherever we're coming from, it's God, today, I have needs. And that pulls us to him. So it could be, God, I need resources today. I need finances. But it could mean, God, I need wisdom today with what you're going through. And it helps me in praying in the morning, as I'm praying for this, to even think through my day. Think in general, God, I think this is what I need today. But also even to think, okay, in that meeting, in that counseling session, when I go do that talk, when I go do this podcast, and I'm just thinking, okay, God, help, give me what I need. And so it could be wisdom. Some of you need wisdom for the day. You're in a tricky situation, or you're in a tricky meeting, or you've got a big decision. God, give me wisdom. For you, it may be you need God's comfort because you're in a season of loss and grief. You're like, God, some of you are in a season where you're discouraged and depressed, and it's just really difficult, and you need God's strength and his presence and his encouragement in your life. Some of you need God's peace for the day. God, I need peace because I am anxious. This world's crazy. And God, I need your peace. There's a million things that we can need from God. But just think through the day. God, in my general circumstances, through my day, God, here's my need. And we ask him for that. And then it's not just asking for me, right? It's asking for us. And as I think about other people in my life, I'm praying, God, would you give so-and-so that? Would you give so-and-so this? And then it even will prompt you, and this has happened for me, it'll prompt you to get on the phone and call them and say, hey, I was praying for you, and is there something I can do for you? Is there a way I can help meet a need in your life today? Because it's not just me, it's we. So that's the first one, is provision. The second one is an example of what we talked about last week, and we'll even mention it today, that the model prayer helps because it will prompt us to pray certain things that we probably would not pray otherwise. And at least part of this, we probably would not, but as we're gonna see, it is so powerful. If all we did was what we're about to say, our life would be so much better and lighter. And here it is. The next part is about forgiveness. He says, forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Daily praying for forgiveness, both God forgive me and help me forgive others the same way you forgive me of sin, of the way I've sinned or people have sinned against me, way I've sinned against you, way others have sinned against me, the way they've hurt me. It's cleaning the slate daily. And he uses the image of debt. It's one of the ways that the Bible talks about sin is debt. Now, which is really a great imagery, right? Because when we sin against God or somebody sins against you or you sin against them, there is a sense of debt. Like there's a sense of you owe me. Like God is just. We know that. We know what we deserve. And so when we sin, we're like, yeah, I've got to pay for that one. There's a debt. Like I really blew it. Or when somebody sins against you, right? There's a sense of, man, you owe me. Like I'm not just going to let you off. I mean, you hurt me. And so there's a debt there, right? And you pay installments. If you pay enough installments, maybe over time I'll get to where I can be like, okay, we're good. You've done enough. But what he's talking about is forgiving a debt. Now imagine this. Just think about this. Wouldn't this be great this week? If your bank or mortgage institution called you this week and said, hey, we've been doing a promotion and we thought it'd be really fun to choose 100 of our customers and we want you to come in and we're forgiving your debt. And so if you come in, we're just gonna give you the deed to your house because it is your house. I know you know you owe $200,000 or whatever, but you don't anymore because we forgave it. That's done. It's your house. Be like, just can a camera, you know what's going on? Like this doesn't happen, right? Nobody does it. Like I signed up, I should have to pay for it. You know, like, yeah, okay, I'll go. You know, and that's what forgiveness is. It's saying, what you owe, you don't owe anything. Do you deserve to pay for something? Yeah, you do, but that's forgiveness is saying, I'm gonna let it go. So first it's when we pray, it's like, God, forgive my debts when I sin against you. It's really acknowledging because the Jesus prayer that we're given is given before the death and resurrection of Jesus. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, what it means is Jesus dies for our sin, raises from the dead, shows that God was pleased with that sacrifice. And God, we are actually, when we have a relationship with God, we are pre-forgiven. We're already forgiven. We just don't feel it when we sin. Because when we sin and we struggle with things, we feel shame and guilt because that's what we deserve to feel. And there's this thing between us and God. And so on a regular basis, let's say every morning, we just say, God, forgive me. God, confess our sin. God, I struggle with this, or yesterday this, or this morning this, or whatever. God, I don't want to do that. I help me walk with you better. But right, and we feel like, we do that. And it's important to kind of clear the air. But understand the good news of the gospel. Gospel is a Bible phrase. It means good news. The good news of the good news is that we are forgiven already. God's already said, that's done. It is finished. It's over. It's paid for. There's nothing that stands between us and God. And so every time we confess our sins, it's really a way to move from shame and guilt to freedom and joy. And to know, hey, God's not mad at me. I mean, I don't want to sin because sin has consequences and it's God help me do better. And I don't, you know, but the things that we struggle with and all, some of you right now are really weighed down with guilt, really weighed down with shame because you made a terrible decision or you're struggling with something and you just can't win and you're just so weighed down with shame and guilt. And God doesn't want you to live weighed down with shame and guilt. He wants you to live free of that. That's the good news of the gospel. And to say, God, help me know the freedom and joy that comes from that. And then we extend that to others. The way God forgives us fully and freely, Jesus saying, now, when you pray, think about all the ways people have hurt you. This is a regular prayer. And you daily, every day, you know, if you pray this daily, you clear the slate. You're like, the ways people have hurt me, God, help me let it go. the way you let it go between you and me. Help me forgive the way you forgive, to let it go. And that's, imagine how powerful if that's all we did, if we cleared our slate of hurts and slights and offenses, how that would change our life. Because so many of us go through life weighed down with unforgiveness and grudges, and we have a list, you know, of all the things people have done, and it just goes through our head and goes through our mind all the time. And then it changes our filter with which we see the other person, and they can't win because everything they do is through the filter of our hurt, and we assume bad motives. I mean, it just goes spirals down, and that happens all the time in relationships. But this is a way to say, hey, God, help me forget, or I choose right now to forgive them. You know, let it go. They don't deserve it because they hurt me. But I want to forgive the way you forgive. And I'm going to, God, help me forgive and just let it go. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, you just mean I'm just going to continue to be abused and all. That's different. I'm not saying just continue to allow yourself to be abused. I'm saying you forgive them. You may still have to have boundaries. It's not the same thing as building trust. It's not the same thing as reconciliation. That takes two people. We'll do a series. In a series in August, we'll talk about that. But in terms of your soul and your heart, in that moment, you just say, hey, that slight, that offense, the way they hurt me, I'm going to just let it go. And again, if what we're talking about is right now, just imagine how that would change how lightly we go through our life if we did that every day. And then the next one is about, let me give this quote because it's so cool. I almost forgot. Corrie Ten Boom is my sister-in-law, was named for her. Her name is Corrie. Christy's mom loved Corrie Ten Boom. And she's in heaven now, but she wrote, and she's a great author, and she lived through the Holocaust in a concentration camp. She had a lot to forgive. And she met her captive, people who held her captive, and after she got out and literally forgave them and all that. So she had some things to forgive. But she once said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Because when we hold on to unforgiveness, we just hurt ourselves. And Jesus said, let it go. That's what he talks about after this prayer. After his teaching, he talks about forgiveness. He comes back to him. He said, hey, do you think it really makes sense not to give the same kind of forgiveness to other people that I've given to you? So that's that. And then the next one, or the last little one, is protection. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a dangerous world. There's a lot to trip us up in this world. This world is full of temptation, and sin is terrible. When we talk about forgiveness and not being in shame and guilt, I'm not saying sin doesn't matter. You don't want to sin. Sin, it has consequences, right? But we live in a world full of temptation that makes sin very easy and justifying it very easy. And there's an evil one. There's Satan in the spiritual warfare who is out to get us. We'll talk about it. So it's a dangerous world. So it's praying, God, I want to be vigilant today, and I'm going to ask for your protection. And first, against temptation, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, the way it's worded here makes it seem like if I don't pray, lead us not into temptation, that God's going to lead me right into it. It's like, God, you're going to lead him. Please don't. That's just a misunderstanding. It's an expression to say, lead me away from temptation. God, I know I'm not really good at the temptation thing. And today, would you lead me away from temptation? If temptation is over here, lead me over here. That's the biblical strategy for dealing with temptation, by the way. I know it doesn't sound very brave, that the way to win is this. Run away. We're taught, no, you stay and fight. And what the Bible lets us know, if we stay in a tempting situation and stay and fight, you know what's going to happen? We're going to lose. Because our sin nature, we're really good at rationalizing. And then there's Satan, who's really good at tempting and really good at manipulating that. And if you and I stay in a tempting situation, the chances of us winning are really low, which is why the Bible uses the word flee, run away, flee youthful lust, flee sexual immorality. Don't think you're gonna stay in it and win. You're not. Get out of there. And God will even help us. In fact, the Bible lets us know that God will always provide a way of escape when we're in a tempting situation. That when even when we're in a tempting situation, that there's always an escape route. Like one time a few years ago, a friend of mine had a birthday party at one of those escape rooms. You know, you enjoy those escape rooms? I really don't. And so I was like, and it was freaking me out a little bit. And I felt really good though, because in each room I noticed there was a little red button and a little thing you could push and the door would open and be like, okay, even if we don't figure out this crazy clue, we're gonna be okay. Because it was just like, freak, what if we're in here forever? Like the rest, I was like having a panic attack, like this is gonna be, you know. And so God will always, there's always a red button in every tempting situation. You have to take it, you have to take, but God will always provide a way out. A way of escape is the literal phrase that Paul told the Corinthians. So you say, man, God, lead me away from temptation. When there, God, help me take the escape path. Flee youthful lusts. Flee temptation. Flee sin. My granddad, I always think of this story when I think of this. My granddad was a pastor and a character. And he was the kind of pastor that was really good at pastoring. And what I mean by that is he loved one-on-one ministry with people. And he spent a lot of time doing that. And he was the chaplain of the hospital close by. So every morning he would spend an hour going around praying with people. And he was the chaplain of the police force in that area. So he would pray with people. And he would also do house calls. And people, you know, people who were at home and couldn't get away, couldn't get, you know, somewhere else, he would go and he would pray. And I, as a little kid, I would go with him. And it was really cool. And, you know, praying with people and all that. But one time he goes and he didn't know this lady, but this lady wanted him to pray with, come to her house and pray with him. And so he goes to the house. And when she comes to the door, he just gets this really weird vibe. She's very flirty. And it's dark inside, and she's got a nightgown on that's very revealing. It's just this weird, you know, and she wants him to come in, and he's like, ooh, this feels, you know, this is not this is temptation, you know, the alarm bells are going off. And so here's what he did. He said, you know what? Before I do anything, I always like to pray. So before I come in, let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm gonna pray. And the minute, second, she closed her eyes, he turned around, ran to the car, and drove away. And I've always appreciated that because, again, the strategy, winning strategy is flee, run away. Don't stay in it and fight it. And think about how, I mean, temptation for us is so close. I mean, 2,000 years ago, nobody would have imagined how close it is. I mean, it's so close to compare ourselves to other people, make ourselves look better than we are. It's right here. Pornography, just right here. And I'm not trying to advertise it. Some of you are like, really? And that's not what I'm... But, I mean, nobody would have imagined, right, that it's just that close. Ways to interact with people in ways that are not good. Like, it's just that close. And we got to be smarter about this. And flee to not think we're going to be fine without being, like, vigilant about it. And I've had people make fun of me. I mean, I do this Covenant Eyes thing. There's somebody who sees everywhere I go. And I've said that before, and people like made fun of me about it. Like, why are you making fun of me? But I mean, I don't want to go play. I mean, there's a part of me that will go there in a heartbeat. And I don't want to. And I'm not going to assume. I'll never rationalize sin. And, you know, and so if I know Bruce is going to see where I'm going to go, I'm not going there because that's embarrassing. And so we just got to be smart. And so it's saying, God, help me be smart. Lead me away from temptation. Help me take the escape route. And then he says, and protect us from the evil one. Talking about Satan and demons, which are angels who have fallen. And there's this big cosmic battle going on. Next week, I'm not going to tell you the movie, but one of the themes is this cosmic battle, this other world, this parallel world that it actually is part of our life and we don't even know it. And God invites us to be part of it. And some of you are like freaking out now. It's like, I had enough to worry about until now you're talking about what, you know, there's Satan and demons and they're out, you know, what is all that about? And we'll talk about that next week a little bit. And then we'll actually do a series on it later in 2025. But it's real. I mean, Satan is real and he's there and he's out to get you. John 10:10, Jesus let us know that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to steal joy and unity and faith, hope, and love. He tried everything good in your life, he's out to steal it. And he's out to kill and he's out to destroy everything good in our lives, in our community. And it is a dangerous world because they're good at, angels, demons are, Satan and demons are good at what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time. And yet we're not on our own in spiritual warfare. God is, it's not a fair fight. God is the God of the universe. He's has all the power, and therefore we're not on our own. And that's why I can say, God, I need your protection today. I want you to protect my family today. Paul said, and when he was talking to the Corinthians, he said, hey, look, we're not unaware of the strategies of Satan. We know, we're gonna be vigilant because we know how he's gonna try to come at us. That's what the series in 2025 will be about. But just real quick, what that means is some of his strategies, disunity is one of them. He's out to disunify the church. He's out to disunify your friends, your family, your place of business, your marriage. And when you feel that happening, nice to just say, no, God, I'm not playing. We're not doing that. God, help me. I'm not doing the disunity thing. Because he's going to try. Or distraction. Just keep us distracted from good things. Certainly temptation, discouragement. He wants you to wallow in shame and guilt. And when that's happening, that's not God. God wants you to know freedom and joy from his forgiveness. So on. So just say, God, protect me from the evil one. Now, when you put all this together, right, this horizontal part of the prayer, you can imagine, man, it's pretty cool. I mean, life would be way better if every day we kind of went through this and prayed. Our mindset would be better. We talked about the vertical thing last week and be like, man, if we did that every day and oriented ourselves every morning and through the day around God's purposes and his will and all that, that life would go better. We'd have a whole different start to our day and a whole different way to go through the day. Same thing with this horizontal part. I mean, imagine, right? And we're going to practice it here in a second, but imagine, right? We're praying for provision. God, give us today our daily bread. And we think through, God, give us what we need for today. And to think about, God, today, what do I need? I know I need this. And I know people around me need this. And God, give us what we need. And we just start praying. God, I need wisdom. I need this. I need that, whatever it is. And then forgiveness. I can't imagine clearing a relational slate every day. An everyday do-over. Like I play golf and I need a lot of mulligans. Especially now because my shoulder and it's just, I have a hurt shoulder and it's not pretty. Wasn't pretty before, it's ugly now if I go out there. And so mulligans are great, right? But it's everyday mulligans. God, I need a mulligan from you. I need a do-over and I'm gonna give everybody who's hurt me a do-over. And imagine the freedom that comes from that. And then protection. God, protect me. I want to be vigilant today. I don't want to just let sin make me stupid because that's what temptation is. It's sin making us stupid and making sin look good. And it works. Like, again, if you stay in a tempting situation, you're going to get stupid and you're going to rationalize. Not just you, me, all of us will do that. And God, lead me away from that. Help me. And then protect me from the evil one. Protect my family. Protect my kids. Protect my... Powerful. Now, it doesn't mean, can you pray for other things? Of course. He wasn't trying to be exhaustive, but imagine if we pray this every day. And so we're going to practice. So I want you to get out your phone, and because it's not all bad, right? On here is the Chase Oaks app. And if you don't have the Chase Oaks app, download it sometime. But we're just gonna, you can download it now if you want, but we're gonna pray. I want us to pray through this and practice this, not just talk about it. So if you go on the Chase Oaks app, you will see a little highlight, says horizontal prayer guide and Jesus's pattern prayer. And so go ahead and push that. And on that will be the whole prayer guide. So it'll have the vertical that we talked about last week and the horizontal. We're just gonna pray through the horizontal stuff. We're gonna practice that. But this week, I'm going to ask you to go through all seven. So you go through all these statements, right? And just use it as a pattern prayer. It'll take you anywhere from about 10 to 20 minutes to do that, like in the morning to do all seven. At least that's my experience. It's a great investment of 10 to 20 minutes. But right now, let's do the vertical part. So let's bow our heads together. And prayer is just talking to God. That's what we've talked about in this series. God is our dad. Jesus said, that's the word he used, the best translation of it. He loves you. You can't get it wrong. And for some of you, it may not be your dad, because the way that happens is God wants to adopt us into his family. And Jesus made that possible, but he asked that we have to want it, to say, yes, I want to be in your family. I want a relationship. And so right now, before we even start praying, you may want to pray, if you've like, I don't know if I have a relationship with God or not. God's done everything to make that possible. So right now in your heart, you can say, God, I want a relationship with you. God, forgive my sin now and forever, and help me be in your family. And talking about adoption, to adopt me into your family as your daughter, as your son. I want that. I want a relationship with you. I want to walk with you into a whole new life. Be in the family, be in your family and walk with you. And that's what it means to know God and have a relationship with him. And he never kicks you out of the family, by the way. And now an opportunity for all of us to pray the second half of this prayer. First, let's pray for provision. And I'm just going to ask you in your own words, you in your heart, you pray as you think about, give us today our daily bread. Just think about things that you need for today, you need for this week. Whether it's wisdom or strength or encouragement or knowledge of his presence or love or patience or what do you need? Just ask him. He's a provider. He loves to do that. And then forgiveness. Ask him to forgive your debt against him, your sin. And if you have a relationship with God, he actually already has. So it's really saying, God, would you help me really know that forgiveness? Can I trade my shame and my guilt for your freedom, for freedom and joy that comes because of the good news of the gospel? God, would you help me move from shame and guilt and defeat to victory and joy? And then think about other people in your life who've hurt you. Things that you're carrying, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, hurt that you're carrying. And just say, God, would you help me let it go? Would you help me to forgive the same way you forgive me? And then protection. Just ask God to lead you away from temptation, to help you be vigilant and smart, to flee temptation, not try to fight it. And then ask for protection from Satan, the evil one, for you, your family, this community, this church. And to close us, not the service out, but just this little time before we have a time of worship, I'm gonna ask Harold, who is at the piano, who is our keyboardist here and helps lead our music, to pray on all of our behalf. And so let's join with Harold as we pray together.
Father, as we bow in your presence, we love you. We say, thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for life itself, Lord. And we know that you and your words have said that you are a shepherd, and we shall not want anything. That means that we lack nothing, Father God. Lord, we know that if we seek you, the kingdom of God and your righteousness, all these things that we need will be added unto us. We know that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. And Lord, some of us, we have sinned, and we have sinned on our hearts by the things that we've said, the things that we do, the things that we shouldn't have done, the things that we were supposed to do and fix it up, sense of cold and omission. Sometimes we need to take it a step further, Lord. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that and we accept that, but sometimes we need to repent, Father. We need to turn away from our evil ways. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then, Father God, we ask for your protection, that you would be a fence around our lives, around our homes, around our jobs, around our automobiles, around our children. Even if I dare say, plead the blood of Jesus, Father God. Some people may not understand what that means, but because of your blood that you shed on Calvary's cross, Father God, that blood has power. And Lord, we just ask that you would order our steps in your word, Lord, We give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you deserve, for it's in Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. See why I asked Harold to pray us out? Hey, let's stand together and worship God as a faith community.